Ross Bowman Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to the Ross Bowlin Podcast, presented by Bowlin Media. I am Ross Bowlin, here with content Cade Orris for our first episode of the new year. How are you feeling, Cade?
Not too shabby, Ross.
Not too shabby?
Yeah.
That's huge.
Right. No, no, New Year's Day wasn't all that great.
It never is.
No. But, you know, I think you need to start off the new year at your lowest point so you can kind of build yourself up again.
Like, nowhere to go like but up?
Yeah. Because if you start off like, no, already at a great point,
yeah,
you really can't go up much more than that. So like if you're at your lowest.
More room for improvement.
Exactly. And that's kind of how I feel right now.
It's a positive outlook.
Yeah.
I can appreciate that. 2024, let's go. New year, new us. What did you do to ring in the new year? What was your New Year's Eve like?
Not great also.
Okay. Fucking... Wonderful.
Yeah. I went to a bar called Speakeasy with some friends.
Speakeasy, famous Austin bar. Yeah.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it's pretty well known, I think.
Okay, I had no idea about that. But yeah, it was interesting. They had four parties at this one bar.
How is that even, like, in different rooms?
They have four floors.
Okay.
So, you know, why waste all that time going to four shitty
different places when you can be in one place that has four shitty different parties.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's good. Efficient.
Yeah.
It's efficient
right?
is what it is.
And it costs $125 per person.
Per floor?
No, just per person.
Are you allowed to go to every floor?
Yeah, so it's kind of weird how they have it set up. So the first floor was just like the regular-ass bar with live music.
Okay.
Second floor was, I believe they described it as a cabaret. And like you had to pay more to go to that one because it had an open bar there. But you couldn't go to the top floor for some reason. I don't know why that
private
is.
Private party, maybe?
Yeah. So it was more like a private event, but like you could, I think you go the third and first, but not the top floor.
Weird.
But you got to pay more for that open bar, I guess.
Did you pay for the open bar floor?
No.
You stayed on the first floor?
Yeah, so we got the
peasant floor?
No, we were able to go to the every other floor. So
okay.
The fourth floor was the rooftop. And no, they just had like another regular ass bar and a DJ, and then they had sections there. So like our group like got a section, but it was literally just like a bench and a couple chairs with some like party favors.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is sick.
Did you get bottle service?
No bottle service.
Yeah.
That was in the open bar probably.
Got it. Yeah.
And then the third floor was just again another regular ass bar with some live music, and then they also had a silent disco there. Which is just...
That's the worst.
Silent discos are so stupid.
Well, there's just nothing better than being at one of the... I've been to a couple. All right, it's been many years at this point. But, like, there's nothing better than being at a silent disco and kind of finding yourself enjoying it and then taking off the headphones and just soaking in the stupidity.
Yeah.
Like, it's... This is just ridiculous.
Yeah, like everyone thing. Looks like they just got off a shift at the airport, you know, directing airplanes to their terminal.
Yeah.
Got the glow sticks and then the headphones on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was fun, I guess.
What did you wear to this event?
Oh, I got my fit off, though. Like, I was looking A1. I had the wool knit sweater with some jeans and then my new Jordans.
Nice.
So I was looking
fresh.
I was looking fresh. Yeah,
looking
sharp.
That's good.
And then, so, you know how, like, when the ball drops, everyone,
yeah,
if they have someone, they, like,
kissing. Kiss, and
yeah,
hugging,
and everyone's like, oh my God, New Year.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, no, I do not want to be here for any of that. So I went outside like 5 minutes before and smoked a blunt and rang in the New Year that way.
So you were smoking a blunt outside the bar when the ball dropped?
Yeah.
I also respect that a great deal.
Yeah, because, you know.
Was there anybody else out there doing the same?
No.
Or like cigarette smokers out there?
Nope, just
you
me.
You couldn't even like head nod at somebody?
No, I was like, yep, yeah, me too. Nah,
solid.
None of that, because, you know, I wasn't about to stand there with a beer in one hand and my dick in the other while I watched a bunch of people kiss as the ball dropped. That's
sure.
just not, I don't need to see all that.
You didn't find a bogey? There was nobody that was, you were like, maybe.
No, because I'm not going to be that guy like 5 minutes before, like, hey, got a New Year's kiss. Like, I'm not doing that shit.
Yeah, and well, I wasn't you, can't, like, you can't just fucking ask. I feel like that's.
Well, yeah, no, I know. I'm not, I wasn't trying to ask anyone.
You got
to
bring out the Riz, as you kids call it.
See, I don't have much of that right now, okay. Yeah.
Your Riz tank is low.
Yeah. Yeah, it's on E right now.
So is mine. But that's what happens when you get married, too.
Mm-hmm. And then getting home from the bars was super fun.
Oh, that's the best,
yeah.
Dude.
So I walked back with one of our friends. She, so they wanted to get like a, you know, like how those people are on bikes and they have like the carriage in the back or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were walking and then she was like, oh, I like don't want to walk and like Ubers are like $40. So I was like, all right, well, I don't mind walking. She's like, let's just get one of these like carriage things or
pedicab.
Pedicab, sure.
Yeah.
And that was like $20 per person to like go across the bridge. I'm like, I'm not paying that, but she ended up paying for it. So we did that.
Your sugar mama getting you across the bridge in a pedicab.
And then, so we got across the bridge and then we took Lime scooters the rest of the way to her place.
Damn,
and
this is bootleg.
And then I like waited an hour for like Ubers to dip below $20 and I got an Uber home.
This is just like a girl that's a friend of yours?
Yeah, it's like a friend of my buddy's girlfriend.
Okay.
Yeah.
It sounds like an acquaintance.
Yeah, it's more of an acquaintance, yeah.
Was she not like looking like for like a little loving? Was there no spark there?
I think she definitely was because my buddy's girlfriend was like, hey, are you going to kiss her at midnight? I'm like, nah, I don't think so.
What is this, sixth grade?
Yeah. I was like, nah, I'm not really feeling all that, so I'm going to go
smoke
a blunt instead.
So then she was just your bootleg travel buddy for the fucking rest of the night?
Pretty much, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, that is sad.
Yeah.
That is
the holidays have been so depressing this year.
The fucking build up to New Year's Eve versus like the reality of it is the funniest thing in the world to me, though. Because like, no, you would never like sketch out your night and have it be what you just described. But what you just described is the reality of the situation. Like that's like a very common New Year's Eve. Like just fucking how it goes most of the time. Now, I'm not saying sometimes magical shit doesn't happen. That can happen too. It's been known to happen, but a much, much higher percentage of people are experiencing the letdown that you did.
Yeah. I kind of went into it like not,
you knew.
Yeah. Which
good.
Honestly, I feel like kind of ruined it for me. Like I think you kind of have to like trick yourself into like thinking you're like you're gonna have a great time.
Oh, for sure. It's all about mindset.
Like, yeah, because like I went into this knowing like, oh, this is gonna suck. Like I'm not gonna have fun at all.
Yeah, that's a terrible losing attitude, kid. No wonder. My God. And just for the record, if there's ever a time just to say fuck it and make out with somebody that you have zero interest in, it's New Year's Eve. But you could also just go outside and make out with your blunt.
Yeah.
That's
I'm trying to make better choices while I'm drunk, so
okay,
that was the reason
just,
for that.
You're trying to be less of a little dirty slut.
Yeah,
huh? Yeah. Well, good for you, dude.
Thanks.
Good for you. I'm glad it went well.
Yeah, sounds like it, right?
So when you woke up, when you woke up on New Year's Day, like what was your, how were you feeling?
It's just like every other week.
You're just like, whatever,
I'm just like fucking depressed, lonely. Don't have anyone to talk to.
Damn, you weren't kidding. There is nowhere to go but up from here.
Yeah.
You're just at rock bottom to start the year, dude. Fucking A.
I'm like, oh, what dumb shit did I say last night? How awkward was I? How much was I on my phone?
Oh,
I was on my phone a lot.
This is the thing you need to lose in 2024, is you need to have a no regrets attitude and stop rehashing nights out the next day. I honestly, for somebody that used to have panic attacks every time they were hungover, I never did this thing that you're describing.
What, never?
I never cared about what I said. I knew no matter what I said, it wasn't half as dumb as the shit that I heard come out of other people's mouths. So I was just like, oh, fuck it. I never sat there and like, oh, God, what did I do? What did I say? Maybe a couple times. But, like, that was not a regular occurrence for me. I was always just more of like a, well, fuck it.
Yeah, I do need to start having that attitude, you know? More. I think that was one of my New Year's resolutions, stop giving a fuck. So.
Yeah, that's what you shared on Patreon, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. And then you failed.
Well, no, that's because it's the new year now. Like,
okay, so this
again,
weekend.
Again, like the first day doesn't count.
Yeah.
That's still technically last year.
Are you going to First Thursday tonight?
No, it starts next month.
Oh, okay.
I probably wasn't going to go either if it was tonight because I just like, yeah.
You just,
and like,
you
I went
just did
out.
The bowl game, right, before New Year's Eve?
The bowl game? Oh, yeah.
Ohio State?
Yeah, fucking Missouri. Are you kidding me? That was rough.
That was, oh, you were still in Indiana for that, weren't you? No?
No,
were
I was back in
here?
Texas,
yeah.
I went out, watched it.
Well, anyway, my point was it was like a long binge situation.
Yeah, it was
there.
Like Thursday through Sunday. I wasn't going to go out and watch the college football games on Monday because I did not give a shit about either team. Or all the teams.
All four teams.
Yeah, all four teams.
Yeah. Well, you might have saved yourself some misery there, too.
Yeah.
I went out to dinner on New Year's Eve with my wife at this new restaurant in Austin it's called Nomade.
Mm, sounds fancy.
And the selling point was that it's like Tulum themed, you know, in Mexico, Tulum.
Okay.
The place in Mexico, the beach resort town thing, whatever. my wife and I went on our honeymoon in Tulum, so this sounded kind of fun. It was like, and frankly, the vibes in Tulum are fantastic, douchey as they may be, and cliche as they may be at this point. But this restaurant legitimately, it like smelled and felt like Tulum. Like, I feel like Tulum just has a scent. They burn like incense or myrrh or some kind of fucking something that they burn in these bowls outside of all the hotels and at the restaurants and shit, and that smell is just like Tulum. And this place, Nomade, had that. And they serve you food that's like the food in Tulum as well, it was great. I mean, it was really, really good. Like, it was definitely not a letdown.
What kind of food does Tulum have?
It's like a unique blend of seafood and shit. I don't know, man. I'm not a foodie.
What'd you get?
It was like a set menu for New Year's Eve. So there's like two choices for each course that you get to pick or whatever. Mm. And I don't know, Kate. I got all kinds of shit. It was good. It was really, really good, though. And then when we got home, we watched Saltburn, the movie, which... wildest movie of 2023 in terms of a combination of quality and insanity, which we will discuss in a bit. But yeah, sometimes watching a movie on New Year's Eve is a risk because it's like if the movie sucks, then you've really even furthered the shitty tone of New Year's.
Right. But I don't think you're going to get let down with that one.
No, this was fantastic. And I was very stoked that I watched it after the fact and like the next day. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about it and talking about it since. But, love the movie. Overall, solid New Year's Eve. Dogs freaked out during the fireworks, which were ongoing between, 11 p.m. and midnight, pretty much, through 1 a.m. And then, what else? New Year's Day was the first two matchups of the college football championship. I did watch, and mostly because I was like, the first time that the Texas Longhorns were in Austin, University of Texas is here. A couple of my best friends are Longhorns. It was the first time they've really had a chance to make a huge splash since 2005, I think, when they won their last national championship.
Right.
And it did not go well for them. It was a heartbreaking loss.
I watched the last minute of this game because I saw Washington was up 6 and Texas had the ball. I was like, all right, let me just see how this goes. I was rooting for Texas to lose so badly because I cannot have Michigan and Texas because that's just like the two fan bases I hate the most right now.
Yeah.
Like Michigan for obvious reasons. And I live in Austin. I'm surrounded by Longhorns fans. I want to see them miserable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Of course. All sports fans wish misery on the other sports fans.
Right.
That's how it works. And Ted Cruz Senator Ted Cruz of RBP fame was in attendance for that crushing loss for yet another Texas sports team, this time the Texas Longhorns in the college football playoff against the Washington Huskies. And before the game was even over, the whole Ted Cruz curse thing had kicked back up on Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter, and on Instagram. And I got a text message from one of my buddies that was at the game with a picture of Ted Cruz in the crowd. And it was before that last-minute drive even failed for the Longhorns. But, like, this dude and this Ted Cruz curse, it's getting worse and worse by the season. Like, Astros this year didn't go well. Ted Cruz was there. He caught the blame. He we used to joke about this, me and Jared, a few years ago, about like the Ted Cruz curse and how he's a big faker with his sports teams. He just goes to whichever Texas team is currently, you know, succeeding and contending for a championship, wears their gear, and like tries to get more voters. Like, look at me, I'm Ted Cruz, I support your teams. And he's just a big fat fucking phony. And now people are, once again, irate about this dude. Like, here's a bunch of headlines from around the internet since Ted Cruz attended the Texas Longhorns game that they lost. From Newsweek, Ted Cruz faces calls to be banned from all Texas sports games. From Yahoo, cursed Ted Cruz blamed as yet another sports appearance goes badly wrong. And from The Independent, the Ted Cruz curse is blamed for yet another sports team loss. And then there was like this one person on Twitter, at Prop Joe, says, need to start a class action lawsuit to anyone who has been victimized by Ted Cruz showing up to their sporting event wearing their colors and contributing to a loss. And, of course, Ted Cruz loves shit like this, so he's online, arguing against it, giving examples of games he was at where the team he was rooting for won, which are few and far between compared to the amount he's been at where they lost. And, I'm 1,000% on board with this. Unfortunately, he is a fan of most of the teams that I'm a fan of. Like, he's a Rockets guy, pretend one, but still, he goes to Rockets games. He's an Astros guy, and he, I don't think, fucks with the Texans. I don't think I've ever seen. See, this is the thing. Texans have never been good. Texans have never competed for a championship. Texans haven't made the playoffs in many, many years. But I bet Ted Cruz fucking, if we beat y'all, if we beat the Colts this weekend and we make the playoffs, I guarantee you Ted Cruz shows up to that fucking game wearing Texans gear, and we will get mopped.
And then I'm hammering the other team. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
the easy one right there. What do you think is worse, the Drake curse or the Ted Cruz curse?
The Drake curse is still probably worse. Yeah. I feel like his record is just so bad. But and it's more public because he posts, like, Drake's curse, he doesn't even have to be there. If he bets on your team.
Or if he's, like, wearing the gear.
Or wears your gear.
Yeah.
You're done.
His is more like, no, he doesn't have, like, well, he has the Raptors, which I think he, like, that, like, broke his curse because they ended up winning the championship. But, like, before that, whoever he was rooting for, and it didn't matter the team or sport, like,
or
they were going to lose.
MMA fighter, boxer, he backs all kinds of. In fact, it's to the point where, like, if I see Drake post on Instagram, like, here's the fighter he bet on, I always make sure and check the next day to see if they lost, and they always do.
Yeah.
And it's always, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars that he's just, like, pissed away.
Yeah.
But we've talked about Drake being a low-key degenerate gambler before. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. The other day, I watched a video clip of him winning $950,000 on roulette.
Was this his alter ego?
No, it wasn't.
I need a max win.
I need a max win. It was just Drake. And he was with Yachty and some other dude. And Drake's response to winning $950,000 on one spin was like, all right, that's solid. Like, we needed that.
Yeah.
And Yachty was like, what do you mean, bro? It was $950,000. Like, him try to compute, like, almost $1 million is, like, not even worth the celebration to my buddy here. Whereas to me, that would be quite a big deal. You know what I mean? Drake is probably worse, but Ted Cruz is.
It sucks if you're.
He's right there.
A Texas fan. Like,
yeah, he's right there, man. Yeah. And that's the other thing. You're not wrong. Drake, very unpredictable. He could back anybody at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
Any sports, you never know. But Ted, you know. It's these Texas teams that he's gonna fuck over. And he did it again.
Yeah, they need to start, like, putting up signs in front of the stadium. It's like,
no
Ted Cruz isn't allowed.
Yeah. Banned for life. And he really should be. That's not even I'm not joking at this point. Like, he really should not be allowed into these places. Also, his rebuttal is always like, I attended every ALCS the Astros have made in the last 7 years. And it's like, well, Like, that's not... You're just kind of furthering the point. Like, bro, you're going to too many of these sporting events. Go do your fucking job or whatever, you know? I brought up Texans-Colts this weekend. Kate and I's NFL teams play each other for the second year in a row. I don't know if this is every year, but at least the last 2 years, last game of the season, Texans-Colts, huge implications on the line.
Last year, for a higher pick in the draft, this year for the playoffs. So quite a lot has changed in a year, you know?
Yeah, last year I was praying we would lose the Texans.
We were both hoping we would lose, and now we both hope we would win.
I wanted the number one pick. It turns out winning that game changed our franchise's fortunes, and we actually ended up with C.J. Stroud, who... It's early. It's only been one season, but significantly better than Bryce Young in season one, the guy who ended up going number one. And yeah, now both of our teams are on the brink of a playoff berth. You guys lost Richardson, your quarterback, your rookie quarterback, yep. But you got Gardner Minshew in there, who I love. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's managing out there. He's a game manager.
He's an exciting game manager, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Where he's got personality and he's got a cool mustache and...
Yeah, it's easier to root for.
That's a lot. He's like Fitzmagic in that way to me. Like, I like this dude. I can root for him.
Right.
But it's going to be interesting, man. This one is in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium. And it's on Saturday. This is our first, I don't know about y'all, but this is our first primetime game of the year. It's at like 7:20 on Saturday or whatever. We have not played a single primetime game. We have been at noon every single Sunday. And the one Sunday that we were supposed to be later in the afternoon, they flexed us back into the noon slot and gave us the I'm doing air quotes, national noon game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we choked. But so this is big. It's going to be a big one and a fun one for whoever wins that game is going to the playoffs.
And probably losing to whoever.
We'll get the shit kicked out of us by the Chiefs or whoever, but it'll be fun. At least for one day. And the Texans are currently favored -1, which is nearly a pick'em, which means that as far as Vegas goes, the expectation is that this is a close one. So it's going to be exciting. And speaking of sports, today's episode is brought to you by MyBookie. Gear up, sports fans. The national championship and the NFL playoffs are here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Don't just watch. Score big with exclusive boosted odds and huge prize contests that'll have you feeling the Super Bowl fever before it even hits. Whether you're a seasoned pro or ready to roll for the first time, MyBookie is your ticket to turning your sports knowledge into cold hard cash. MyBookie has the largest online lineup of odds, contests, and Vegas-style casino games, making it your ultimate destination for all types of fun 24/7 right at your fingertips. If you've been waiting for the right time to get in on the action, the wait is over. Make your winning move today. Sign up at MyBookie. Use promo code Ross to claim your deposit bonus up to $1,000. That's right, code Ross for an opportunity to boost your betting power. Experience the thrill of sports betting right from the comfort of your home. Because with MyBookie, you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere. Join MyBookie today and be a part of the winning team. MyBookie.ag is the site. The code is Ross to claim that deposit bonus. Stipulations apply. Enjoy. And as always, bet safely. All right, so I mentioned Saltburn, the movie. And for those of you, if you haven't heard of it, it's the one starring Jacob Elordi from Euphoria fame and Barry Keoghan, who was in like Banshees of Inisherin, The Killing of a Sacred Deer, Marvel's The Eternals, it turns out, which I was not aware of.
He's also in The Batman.
Joker in The Batman, and he's very likely going to be the main bad guy in the second iteration of the Robert Pattinson Batman series playing the Joker, which has already begun to get some hype around it. But the point is, this movie Saltburn it's gotten a lot of hype online over the past few weeks, mainly because everybody found out about this bathtub scene, right? Like, that's what you knew about
that's
it going
the in,
right?
Only thing I knew about this movie.
Same, yeah. That there was, like, a scene where Barry Keoghan's character, like, drinks Jacob Elordi's character's jizz out of a bathtub, which was just a fucking insane thing to have inserted into your mind. And then it makes you wonder, like, what is this movie about, right? Like, what the hell happens in this movie that is one of the scenes? And it turns out that's, like, one of the, I mean, there's, like, three scenes that I would argue are more disturbing than that one. But Saltburn, watched it on New Year's Eve with my wife. Cade watched it earlier in the week. I discussed it for an hour yesterday on the Oysters, Clams, and Cockles Patreon with my co-host, Barrett. Now, Barrett and I are the same age and from the same background, basically, same place, Houston, same high school, same, like, a lot of similarities in our childhoods. But I'm curious what Cade, who is a decade younger than me, thought about this thing.
I love this movie so much. Like, I think it might be in my top two for movies this year.
For last year, 2023?
Yeah, for last year, yeah. It was just, like, really fun, kind of hot, very weird, kind of mysterious too, you know? Just, like, had a little bit of everything. And, again, like, I didn't really know much about this movie going into it, and I think that's, like, the way you need to go into as well.
That's the way I like going into most movies and TV shows in general. Like, I don't really like previews that much anymore because I don't want to see a bunch of the shit that I'm going to see when I watch it.
Yeah.
Like, I like to know a general premise or whatever, but I can get that through text. I don't need to see, you know, what's coming.
Mm-hmm. But
with this, I knew nothing.
Yeah. And like a lot of the sex scenes you were talking about, were just like so, like, they weren't like the craziest thing ever. They were just like a little weird. Like, some people are like, you know, blowing it way out of proportion. But they just had me dying laughing. Like, at every sex scene, it was just like, it just got a little crazier and crazier each time. And just, I got high before I watched this. So it just kind of like enhanced it for me too.
Yeah, sure, sure.
I
didn't watch it sober.
No. Are we going to do like some mild spoilers or like, because I guess I want to talk about like some specific scenes.
No, you can't do spoilers. I don't feel like it's been long enough yet. I'm trying to encourage people to go watch this thing, though. It's streaming on Amazon Prime. So if you've got Prime Video, whatever the fuck they call it, Amazon Prime,
yeah,
then it's on there for you to watch. That's where I watched it. It's one that was in theaters last year. It's going to get nominated for a bunch of shit, I guarantee that. And it's the second directorial project from the woman who made Promising Young Woman in 2020. Do you remember that movie?
No, I haven't heard of that.
Solid, very good. Also had, you know, pretty hard to watch, difficult to watch moments in a good way. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean in a good way, but great movie. Anyway, this, she's like two for two now in my eyes because this thing was fucking ridiculous. And when you say it was a lot of fun, that is the way I would describe it. It's like nonstop chaos, vibes, fun, and insanity. Like, so much insanity that the main character is a goddamn lunatic. That's one spoiler I will give you. The character Barry Keoghan plays, who I think is like my favorite actor now. Like, this dude is so good in everything he's in. And I loved Banshees of Inisherin. The trio that made that project also made one of my other favorite movies from the past, In Bruges. So Banshees of Inisherin was a big deal to me to see those dudes come together, the two main actors and then the director of that one. And the Batman was okay. It's always going to be tough to top like
Heath Ledger,
the Christopher Nolan Batman movies for me. And yeah, of course, Heath Ledger. But like, honestly, Barry Keoghan being on board for doing the Joker, which again, it sounds like that is the thing that is happening with the next Batman movie with Robert Pattinson in it. That is the first time I'll have been as interested as I was since the Christopher Nolan ones. Because if anybody can do justice to what Heath Ledger did or like take it to another level or do it weirder, it's this fucking guy.
Yeah.
And I know that because I watched Saltburn, where he takes things, like he makes this movie by taking things to an absolutely unbelievable level of psycho repeatedly. Like, just the bathtub scene, since that's one thing we have already brought into play here that was like a spoiler that was readily available online everywhere and that got talked about a lot. That scene could have been a lot less weird and funny than it was. But the way Barry Keoghan goes all in with it and, like, the slurping and the facial expressions and, like, it's just, he's so fucking good, man. So, like, he makes that what it is. Anyway, I would fully trust him to do Joker, and I would definitely tune in for that movie. I was also, I said this on OCC, but like I was super impressed with Jacob Elordi. Euphoria is a great show and he was surrounded by a lot of really, really good actors. And I could never really get a feel for Jacob Elordi in terms of whether or not his character was just kind of adult. Cause he plays like a big dumb jock asshole who's also kind of a psycho, but there's not a lot of depth to him. And I could never really get a feel for his performance. And I didn't really know what to make of Jacob Elordi outside of being like this big Hollywood it guy, like hot boy, you know what I mean?
Right.
And this movie, like Saltburn, he definitely proved he has acting chops too. I thought he was really, really good. And it's hard to act across from somebody who's as talented as Barry Keoghan. Like two things happen. You either get crushed under the weight of their talent or their talent elevates you. Like, you know, like the Michael Jordan thing, like he made everybody around him better, like that kind of deal. And I think the latter happened here because he was also phenomenal. It was just a great movie, man, from storyline to the acting to the ridiculous talking, you know, water cooler moments, I would call them in some form. I don't know what water cooler would allow you to talk about the shit that happens in this movie, but some places of work are different than others.
The soundtrack as well.
Great music.
2000s hits, you know.
Yeah, it's based in the early 2000s, which was when I was in high school going into college, and that made it very fun as well because it's just like a nostalgia bomb.
Right.
They're wearing like Livestrong bands and shit. Like,
oh, yeah. Elordi's character had one on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was great, man. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts on Saltburn?
No, not really. I think we covered it because can't really get into the spoilers and all that. But yeah, that's definitely go watch it. Watch it with your parents. I think that would be a good one.
Don't watch it with your parents.
I've been seeing TikToks. Like people will like, they've seen the movie already and then they'll watch it with their parents
and film
like
it?
Every, yeah.
Oh, that's,
that, and that they're all just like in shock at all the different scenes.
It depends on your relationship with your parents, but that's a really good idea for a TikTok.
Yeah.
Just because I'm sure some of these parents are like, Jesus Christ, what is happening? It is out there. It is really fucking out there. I described it as like the Talented Mr. Ripley meets American Psycho, if you've seen those two. Have you ever seen Talented Mr. Ripley?
No, I haven't seen either of those.
All right, since you just recently watched Saltburn, you got to watch The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Okay.
All right, put that one on your movie list, Cade, because it is... It's a really good one, and there are a lot of similarities between Saltburn and The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah.
That if you liked one, you'll probably like the other.
Did you mention the sacred deer or whatever? With
the killing of a sacred deer?
Have you watched that?
Yeah, it was okay.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't like, I didn't think it was great. It wasn't bad. It was weird and dark, and I thought it was good. And okay.
Because I thought about watching that one as well, but...
Yeah, no, at some point, I would just, you know...
Talented Mr. Ripley.
Slot
at the
that
top
in
of the list.
It.
Okay.
Yeah. You also mentioned you watched something. What was the other movie you watched where you said you had a panic attack during the previews?
Yeah, so on New Year's Day. No, okay. Already feeling not great.
January 1st.
And I've been wanting to go see this movie for a little bit now. It's The Iron Claw with Zac Efron.
Yeah, the wrestling movie.
And Jeremy Allen White.
Three brothers, right?
Four, yeah.
Four brothers, okay.
Yeah, and they're like a iconic wrestling family from the 80s, maybe?
So yeah, early 1980s.
And I was supposed to go see it on Thursday by like canceling it and like getting a refund for my ticket because I went out instead. And so I was like, all right, I don't have anything to do on New Year's Day. I'm going to go and watch this movie.
So you went to the theater?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was already like kind of on edge because I knew what the film was about. It's like about like the tragedy of like, you know, this brother like losing all of his brothers to like accidents and stuff, and like just like the tragedy that this family goes through. So I knew there was gonna be death. I knew there was gonna be like some fucked up shit in this. So I was already on edge. And then
also you're probably hungover.
And then I was also hungover and not feeling great about myself either. And so
because you made out with a blunt at midnight.
Yeah.
And spurned some poor girl who took a fucking pedicab that she paid for across the river before hopping on a fucking Lime scooter. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And let me just say, the trailers did not ease my anxiety whatsoever.
What do you mean? The trailers before the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, dude.
So the first trailer that they showed, this was like the trailer before the trailers.
Okay.
And it's called ISS, the International Space Station. And so it's about these American and Russian astronauts who are working together on the space station when a nuclear war breaks out on Earth. And then they're told to, both sides are told to take control of the ship.
Oh, God.
And then, like, the rest of the trailer is just, like, them, like, pretty much, like, murdering each other, it seems like.
Yeah.
So that, like, set me off. I'm like, oh fuck, I'm gonna get like so many just like fucked up trailers, and then like the movie's gonna be fucked up too. So I just started to like, I start to begin to like feel.
Yeah, you got anxious.
The panic attack to set in. And I was also high for it too.
Oh, God,
which doesn't doesn't help sometimes when you're having a panic attack because you just think a lot more.
Oh, it definitely doesn't help.
And then
nobody's ever been like, you're having a panic attack, here, hit this blunt.
Yeah.
Or like smoke this weed or take this edible. Like that is not the time.
Yeah. So then the next trip that I saw, that I was like, I couldn't even watch this one. Cause you know how like it says like the rating and then like why it's rated that at the beginning.
Yeah.
So this was an A24 movie with Kristen Stewart and Ed Harris, the man in black from Westworld.
Yeah.
And it was rated R, and it was like graphic violence, disturbing images, nudity, oh, blood. Yeah, like I was like,
looks like it's called Love Lies.
Yeah, Love Bleeding. Lies Bleeding. Yeah. And sweet. Yeah, I literally could not watch this trailer because I could like feel it start to happen. I'm like, nope, I'm gonna try to distract myself. I like went on my phone, was like just like doom scrolling. I was just like, oh, if I can think about anything else right now.
Oh God.
Didn't help. And then the last trailer, another A24 movie.
Oh God.
Was Civil War. Have you seen the trailer for this one?
Oh yeah, dude.
So yeah, if you don't know about this one, it's about a civil war that breaks out between California and Texas versus the rest of the world. Not sure how those two states got together.
Versus the rest of the country.
Yeah. Yeah. Or yeah, the rest of the country, yeah. And again, just it's an A24 movie, so it's gonna be dark, it's gonna be disturbing.
Well, yeah, but frankly, if there are any subjects that could potentially induce a panic attack in somebody, especially on the 1st of January of a brand new year, it would be a nuclear war occurring that causes the International Space System Station to be fought over, and also civil war occurring within the United States. Of course, 2024 is an election year. And that's probably the highest level of fear that everybody has around it, right? It's like that everything fucking collapses. And yeah, I've seen the preview for 2024 or for a civil war coming out in this year. And I was like, oh my God, this is not something I'm going to partake in.
Mm-hmm. So like as soon as the movie started, it was like, I just had the full on like blown panic attack. Like I like,
Did you stay in your seat or did you bail?
I like leaned back in my recliner like as far as I could, and like I was like moving around so much because I just like
couldn't stay still.
Yeah. I started to get like,
did you have people on either side of you?
I had people to the right of me, so I was like, oh my God, I feel so like they're probably like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
This dude's
right,
tweaking.
Yeah. And like I was just like closing my eyes, like just like trying to calm myself down, and like the first scene of the Iron Claw is like kind of intense too. It's not like gross or anything, but like it was just like it came in hot. So I was just like, oh fuck, I don't need this right now.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I'm like, do I just like get up and leave? But like when I've tried to like go somewhere when I have a panic attack, like I just like lose all my vision, and like I'm like not gonna be in a dark ass theater. Well, I guess like
trying to make your way out of there, like fall down the stairs.
Yeah, and I was like at, in the very back too.
Oh yeah.
So I was just like, all right, I'm just gonna tough it out, and I was cool after like 5 minutes, but like it was
took
not
some time.
It was not fun,
dude. I'm telling you, the previews before the movie you're going to see are sneaky dangerous, because like when I went to the IMAX last year to go see the new Mission Impossible movie, because we were covering it on OCC, I took an edible before. We got there, I was fine. Sat down, I'm fine. I've got my popcorn, my drink, and all that. Then the previews start rolling. And it was back to back to back, like similarly to yours, but not as dark. It was more like mine, it was like Napoleon, like big war movie, right? Where I was just like, Jesus. And in the IMAX, everything is significantly worse. It's like,
everything's loud, yeah.
It's so overstimulating, dude. And by the end of the previews, I was the same boat. Like, I was having a fucking panic attack to the point that I was like, well, I can't. The movie started, Mission Impossible, and of course, you know, that thing came in hot. And it's, by the way, it's a terrible movie, but like, it is an incredible feat in that I don't think there's ever more than a 2 minute break without an insane 20 minute action sequence occurring. So it's just like, if you were anxious in a movie theater, maybe the worst movie you could possibly watch would be Mission Impossible, whatever the fuck it was, part one. And I made it through the first couple of minutes forcing myself to stare at the screen before I was like, okay, I can't do this. And I had to just like look at my feet for a while. And I did consider leaving. But I was like, well, what am I going to like? I'm going to walk out and like be in the hallway anxious then and by myself at that point. Like that doesn't seem like a better solution. So I kind of toughed it out too, which I don't normally do. But I'll say it's the danger of getting high and going to the movies, man. It's almost like if you're going to get high and go to the movies, just first of all, pick a movie that's solid for that. Like, you know, Barbie.
Yeah.
And then don't go in until the previews are over.
But once you, it's like coming out,
yeah,
you know?
But you watch that shit at home later, man. It's just like the risk of getting bombarded by like back to back to back anxiety inducing previews is not worth it. It's just not worth it. And I've had that experience before. That was a full blown anxiety attack in the Mission Impossible IMAX situation, which, you know, I recovered from it or whatever, but like, not really. My brain was still a mess the rest of the movie because the whole movie was nonstop action sequences. So yeah. I've been there, and I no longer trust previews. I think it was the first time that's happened to me where I was like, the previews set me off, and then I couldn't really enjoy the movie I was there to watch because the previews fucked me. So I don't trust them anymore.
No, I'm in the same boat. I don't think I can go see the previews anymore. But do go see The Iron Claw. It's really good and very depressing. So I hope you like that.
What a great New Year's Day you went through there. I also watched over the break the new Dave Chappelle special. And look, anybody who knows my relationship with stand-up comedy is aware that Dave Chappelle is like definitely one of my idols in terms of what he's been able to do with his career and comedy specifically. And then he took this weird turn when he started dropping these Netflix specials a few years ago where it seemed like he was only going to talk about one thing, like trans people. Like he just kept going in on the same subject and he became like this controversial like dude in Joe Rogan's circle that I was just like, I don't really know what he's doing. It's not really for me. So I kind of just like stepped away from Dave for a while. And I heard he dropped this new special, Dreamer. And I saw like the promo he did with
Morgan Freeman.
With Morgan Freeman. I almost said Denzel Washington, racist. But the point is, I was like, you know what? I want to see, because I started seeing the same negative reviews coming out about Dreamer, this newest one, saying like Dave Chappelle is once again like punching down and attacking trans people and the disabled. And I was like, okay, what the fuck? There's no way. He's still talking about the same shit. So I went and I watched it, and he was talking about the same shit. Now, I'll say this. There was a little more, it seemed like, meaning behind some of his jokes that were aimed at, like, he starts off with this long-winded story about getting to meet Jim Carrey. And I'm not going to spoil it, but just suffice it to say he ties that back to the punchline is a trans joke. And you're like, oh my God, this is the opening of the thing. You're just like, oh my God, he's still. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do any more jokes about trans people.
Just three or four.
But I'm going to, this today I've got all new material. You're never going to guess what it's aimed at. It's disabled people. And that kind of like takes some of the bite off the trans joke, because the thing that nobody wants to see is like their favorite comic seemingly picking on a marginalized group of people. Like, that's not fun. That's fucking weird and uncomfortable and seemingly unnecessary. But if it's that everybody can catch it, I'm cool with it. That's like, which this special did a better job of accomplishing. Like, he makes fun of white people, he makes fun of black people, he makes fun of Asian people, he makes fun of disabled people, he makes fun of trans people. Like, he takes enough shots in enough different directions to where it's more balanced out. But overall, My read on Chappelle, where he's at now as a comic and sort of this like twilight of his career, is the same as it was after the last three specials. He's not the same dude without his writing partner Neil Brennan, the dude he wrote and did Chappelle's Show with. And I think Dave is a masterful storyteller. I think his stage presence is a lot of what has given him the success and makes him as entertaining as he is. But I think whatever Neil Brennan was bringing to the table in terms of writing and crafting jokes, without that, Dave is not nearly as good as he once was. I also don't think he's trying to be as good as he once was. It seems like he just kind of knows, like, he achieved legendary status. he's in a place that very few comics ever get to in terms of their respect and fan base size. And now he can just kind of do whatever he wants. So it's more of like, at least with the last few specials, it was like he was just getting on stage and kind of making shit up as he went. This one's a little more organized. It definitely seemed like he had it planned out and put together and had practiced it. And it was more enjoyable to me as a Dave Chappelle fan than the last three on Netflix, which just made me kind of sick to my stomach. Like, watch. It's like, this happens with so many fucking people. Like with Kanye West, like watching like one of your heroes crash and burn. It's just awful. It's a terrible feeling. You're like, God damn it. I've supported this dude and loved his music and his art for years and years and years, and now he's turning into this piece of shit that I can no longer stand by. And that had started to sort of happen with Chappelle for me, because I was just like, look, I don't even, I understand some of the point. Comedy, anybody can get it. And like, you should be able to make jokes about anybody. I genuinely believe that. Like, I think that's an important part of comedy, that comics are allowed to do whatever it is they want. But the flip side of that is, as a comic, you have to take the consequences of what you say too. Like, you can make fun of anybody, but if it's not funny, you have failed. And if it's offensive and not funny, that's bad. That's not good. That's bad. And some of Dave's shit was like that. And as somebody who, I mean, it's also, you don't want to put your audience in a position where, like, I'm not trans, I don't know any trans people. So you start making trans jokes back to back to back for 20 fucking minutes, and suddenly I'm in a really weird spot. Because I'm laughing at somebody or choosing not to laugh at somebody that I don't even know what the fuck how it's making them feel. Like, if you could poll the trans community, like, how do y'all feel about these Dave Chappelle jokes? And then serve up those results to the rest of us so we know whether or not it's okay, then maybe it would be a different story. But that's not the world we live in. That's not how anything fucking works. So instead, I'm having to sit there and decide, like, wait a minute. Is this offending people? Is this deeply upsetting to the people he's aiming this at? Because, like, in that case, then it is strange, because it is a marginalized group that you're just choosing to pick on. And without the ability to determine that myself, I just fucking walked away. I was just like, I can't. This is too fucking weird. And also just like, it's not something I'm personally focused on. I'm not spending a whole bunch of my time wondering or thinking about trans people, or like whether or not it's okay for trans people to exist, and like the shit that whatever Dave, something with him fixated on this shit. And I wasn't interested. I just was not interested in his commentary on it. So for him to start the special with a joke that was a trans joke was, I was just like, I can't fucking believe he's still doing this. But it was tied in with a Jim Carrey story. And I love Jim Carrey. So I was like, ah, okay, well, I don't know. I can deal with it. It's fine. And then he kind of moved on from there. And anyway, if you're a Chappelle person like me who walked away because you just couldn't stop, you didn't want to hear the same shit over and over like he was doing on the Netflix specials, this one is good enough to go back. It's still problematic in some ways or whatever, if you want to look at it like that. But like, it also, I just think is, you know, it's important that comedians and that Americans in general are allowed to talk about and joke about and discuss and debate the things that they believe, right or wrong. That's kind of one, that's like one of the beautiful things about our society. And if nothing else, Dave Chappelle is accomplishing that to a certain degree. And the one thing that concerns me is I find myself in this boat where, like, when Kanye started acting like a moron, like when he married Kim Kardashian, I'm not joking. I was like, I think he's doing this as a setup. Like, I thought it was like he was going to get into the Kardashian crew and then like destroy them from the inside out or something like that. Like, I was like, this can't be real.
No, they ended up like destroying him.
Yeah, no. So I was like, I was delusioned into thinking like, this cannot be real. This cannot be a real thing that is happening. And I still have a sort of, like, I was like, there's got to be a point. And that's how I feel with Chappelle now. I'm like, nobody is stupid enough to keep making jokes about the same group of people for four consecutive specials without there being some reason behind it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my train of thought as a fan. I'm like, surely he has a point, which is scary, because the last time I thought that was with Kanye. And that was the beginning of like a 10-year slide into despicable behavior that nobody could possibly sign off on. So that concerns me a little bit. But overall, it was a step in the right direction, I would say, for Chappelle. But There's still fucking weird moments. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it twice because I thought we were going to talk about it yesterday, so I turned it on before you got here. Like, I enjoyed it. Again, it's not like his best work or whatever.
Definitely
but,
not. It's in the place where some of his best work takes place, though. It's back in D.C. where he did Killing Them Softly.
That was his first one?
Yeah, his first big one.
Yeah.
And that one is like an all-time classic. This was not.
Yeah, but again, I think I just like hearing him tell his stories. Like, I always feel like super engaged with like how he talks and know where he like takes his stories and like how he flips it. He makes a lot of jokes about his wife and stuff, but like he's able to flip it on himself and like kind of be the butt of a joke.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that. And then like he talks about his when he got attacked and like how it was like kind of like similar with him and Chris Rock.
Oh, the Chris Rock comparisons. Yeah.
But yeah, it was cool. I mean, like, I'm not as big of a fan of him as you are. So I didn't grow up watching him and all that. So it's kind of like tough to say how I really feel about him, but especially with like getting to know him now, like just like kind of through the Netflix specials.
Yeah.
Like, I never really got to see him like
in his prime.
Yeah.
Well, this shit is weird now.
Yeah.
Dude, like, just as an example, the tone of the intro is, like, the most dramatic possible. It's, like, you're watching, it's, like, black and white, and there's, like, music, and you're watching him, like, go to the stage or whatever, and it's, like, so fucking serious. Why? It's a comedy special. Like, then he gets up there and makes a Jim Carrey trans joke, and you're just like, wait, what was that intro about? Like, it's like an intro I would expect for somebody like, I'm about to watch like a Barack Obama speech or some shit. Like, it makes no fucking sense tone-wise. And then same thing with the exit. It's like, it's just sort of self-righteous in a way. Like, the credits, it's like him with all of the most famous people on earth.
Yeah.
In the special, there was like a bit he does where he's like, and sometimes I feel regular. He's trying to make it like, identify with regular non-famous people.
Like, I'm in someone else's dream.
Yeah, that whole thing. Which is, I thought it was a cool point, although I was just kind of like, man, you're coming off as somebody who's been famous for so long that you don't even really realize what you're saying anymore. And then when the credits start rolling, it's him with the most famous people, every single famous person you can think of meeting Dave Chappelle. Lil Nas X is in there, right? Like, every single fucking, it's crazy. And anyway, so I don't really know what to make of, like, what the fuck he thinks at this point. Like, I'm just like, I don't really know if you know what you think at this point, Dave. So, still a weird place. But yeah, overall, better product. Still a little shaky, still a little strange. And this is coming from somebody who's a fan. I'm not a critic. Like I've said before, certain people, they have a certain level of success. They put enough into culture and the culture and art that they kind of gain the right to do whatever the fuck they want. And I would say Chappelle is one of those people. And but as a fan, like, watching his shit, I have thoughts on it. And there they are. I just shared them. Saying new year, new me is a ridiculous cliche at this point because, of course, you're still you, not a new you. And not all of us need to completely reinvent ourselves every time the calendar changes. So don't worry about reinventing yourself in this new year. Just rehydrate yourself with Liquid IV. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, Liquid IV hydrates 2 times faster than water alone, all in a single sugar-free stick. So now you can feel like a hydrated new you, ready to take on 2024. We have a massive supply of Liquid IV here at Bolin Media's office, which makes us perhaps the most hydrated media company in the entire world. And Liquid IV has been one of our longest-running sponsors, supporting your favorite Bolin Media shows for years now. We love Liquid IV. It's delicious, it's effective, and it's hydrating. What more can you ask for? One stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone, with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. No artificial sweeteners and zero sugar, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. Non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. They replace the sugar with a proprietary amino acid allulose blend. Allulose is a naturally occurring sweetener with the same sweet taste and texture that one can expect from table sugar. Rehydrate yourself for the new year. Grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or Get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Ross at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Ross at liquidiv.com. I've got some insane headlines of the day to get us in the 2024 spirit. First one, a Florida woman is suing the Hershey Company for $5 billion in a complaint that alleges the company falsely represented some of its Reese's peanut butter products. Now, this interests me not only because I love crazy Florida stories, but also I'm a huge Reese's peanut butter cup guy. And one of the things my wife put in my stocking this Christmas was one of the three-pack, like, extra large ones, you know? It's like the big boys.
Yeah.
And the other night when I was feeling a little spacey, I ate the whole thing. And then I shit horribly for like three straight days. I think it was the most candy I've had in one sitting in a while. And my stomach was just like, fuck you, dude. So my dumps were destroyed. And so I have personal beef with Reese's at this moment. Anyway, here's the story from ABC. A Tampa Bay area woman is suing the Hershey Company for $5 billion in a class action complaint that alleges the company falsely represented some of its Reese's peanut butter products. The complaint was filed Thursday in Florida's Middle District Court. And according to court documents, the woman filed the complaint, quote, on behalf of herself and all other similarly situated individuals who purchased a Reese's peanut butter product based on false and deceptive advertising. Now, you're probably wondering, what false and deceptive advertising is she referring to? We're going to get to that. Just wait. It says the suit alleges Hershey's violated Florida's Deceptive and Unfair Trade Practices Act. The suit concerns specific Reese's peanut butter holiday-themed treats, including the following: Reese's Peanut Butter Pumpkins, Reese's White Pumpkins, Reese's Pieces Pumpkins, Reese's Peanut Butter Ghost, Reese's White Ghost, Reese's Peanut Butter Bats, Reese's Peanut Butter Footballs, Reese's Peanut Butter Shapes Assortment, Snowmen, Stockings, and Bells. It says, for example, Reese's Peanut Butter Pumpkins, in pictures provided in the lawsuit, the packaging clearly shows a jack-o'-lantern face carved on the candy. However, the actual candy inside doesn't have the jack-o'-lantern and is only vaguely in the shape of a pumpkin. The complaint states that the Hillsborough County woman was shopping in October at an Aldi's when she saw the Reese's peanut butter pumpkins on display and, quote, believed that the product contained a cute-looking carving of a pumpkin's mouth and eyes as pictured on the product packaging. Then she reportedly bought a bag for about $4.49. When she got home to unwrap her Reese's treat, she wasn't greeted with that happy pumpkin face. The lawsuit says the woman would not have bought the Reese's peanut butter pumpkins had she known it didn't have the detailed carving on the candy. So, are you grasping what happened here? She went and saw the Reese's and looked at the packaging and went, it's going to look exactly like that. And then she opened it, and for anybody who's ever had one of these holiday candies, like, it's sort of shaped like it, but it doesn't look like it does on the packaging.
No, and I've seen a bunch of, like, especially with Reese's, how, like,
yeah,
some of their products, like, don't look as how they're described, but also, like, why are you, like, buying Reese's based on, like, what shape it is? Like, I'm going for, like, the taste of it. I don't really give a shit what the shape of it is, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I get the argument to some extent, but it's it says, going further, the lawsuit alleges Hershey's took part and furthered a common scheme to convince consumers to buy the Reese's holiday-themed candy, quote, by means of untrue, misleading, deceptive, and or fraudulent representations. If a judge grants class action status to this lawsuit, it would apply to all consumers within the state of Florida who bought the aforementioned Reese's products. The Hershey Company has 21 days to respond to the suit, according to court documents. Now, all of this, I get it. I can't imagine ever being disappointed enough with a $4.49 Reese's purchase to be like, go hire a lawyer and file a class action suit
for $5 billion.
And then where do you get the $5 billion number from? Like, that's the craziest thing to me.
And then,
like, $5 million? Would be insane. $5 billion is just a totally ridiculous
and
sum.
So if they do win the suit or whatever, it's just like everyone who bought this in the state of Florida
will get like a certain amount of money, yeah.
Yeah. But they sell those everywhere.
So yeah, but this is just Florida. And then we'll have to go make one for Texas, you know?
Okay, so we should start that $5 billion lawsuit.
Yeah, we get on board with this lady now, okay. You know, while the snowball is building.
Right.
Get some of that momentum. But fucking brutal for Reese's.
Kind of feel like they're going to...
have to switch up, right?
Maybe, or just like stop selling those kind. Well, I don't think they're going to stop selling them, but I don't know what they do here.
Got to make the pumpkins look like pumpkins, dude. That's what
you
got to do
here. Carve the face on them.
You got to carve the face. You got to take it serious. Same with the butter ghost, the white ghost, the butter bats, the footballs, the assorted snowmen,
that's
stockings,
just too many
and belts.
Different fucking Reese's. Just like, yeah, keep it simple.
They're just going. They're out of control.
Yeah,
they're out of control. You got
too many different product lines.
It's what happens, you know. This is what happens, Reese's. You're the example for us now. Anyway, ridiculous. $5 billion. Because she took home a $4.49 bag of Reese's that didn't look the way that she thought they were supposed to.
Didn't have that happy pumpkin face.
Based on the packaging, yeah. Fucking needed that happy. She needed that smiling pumpkin real bad.
What if it was
like
a sad pumpkin face? Like, was she also sued? Or
the last line for her, dude. All right, next headline. American teen becomes first human ever to beat Tetris. Now, this is a crazy story because I had no idea that no one had ever beaten Tetris ever.
I thought, like, people did it all the time.
Never happened before. Not a single fucking time. And for anybody who's ever played the OG Tetris, like, the problem that is incurred upon you is that it goes so fast that you have no shot of making the correct decision about where the piece should land, right? Like Tetris, you know, you start with a blank slate, piece starts coming down very slowly, you get to decide where to put it. Next piece comes, same. And then every piece that comes down the chute is a little bit faster. Well, if you've ever done really well on Tetris, you know that eventually it gets so fucking fast that it's literally impossible for you to decide where the next piece should go, so you eventually lose. And I guess it just, I didn't even know there was a way to beat Tetris, which this kid just did, and here's the story from BBC. It says, for decades, it was a feat that was considered impossible. In the dying days of 2023, U.S. teenager Willis Gibson, online handle Blue Scuddy, beat the Nintendo Entertainment System version of the video game Tetris, which was first released in 1989. Now, this is a nerd. This kid is playing the OG 1989 Nintendo Entertainment System Tetris. It says, the original Tetris designers thought it couldn't be done. The game is designed to play endlessly. The pieces fall faster and faster until a player is overwhelmed. To beat the game, a player has to achieve scores so high that the game's memory banks overload and it crashes. So the only way to beat this game, Tetris, is to break it, basically. You have to do so well that the game's processing is incapable of keeping up and just shuts the fuck down. So it says, victory is achieved because the computer simply cannot continue. Previously, the NES version of Tetris had only been beaten by AI. A specially designed program was able to perceive near instantly the state of the Tetris game and select actions as fast as the console could register them. It played tirelessly, never making an error, something that seemed far beyond the constraints of mere human performance. So this kid Gibson streamed the game on December 21st of 2023. He played the game at increasingly frenetic speeds for 40 straight minutes. And in the process, he set the new world records for high score, levels played, lines cleared, and eventually was rewarded with the crash that signals that he had done the impossible, beaten the game. There's a clip of it online. You can go watch, because he was streaming it, is my understanding. And what I'm not getting is how this little kid was able to, like, get to this point. Because, dude, it's, he's making decisions at a computer speed.
Yeah, I don't think this is a human. I think he's just, like, a robot. Like, he has to have that kind of mindset.
He's an android?
Yeah.
Something with this, it's a freak show, is what it is. Because you're not, like, literally, it doesn't compute, no pun intended, that you'd be able to do this. And he did it. First human ever. Just some kid, dude.
And just playing that for 40 minutes, like...
Willis Gibson.
That's insane.
And he goes crazy.
Yeah.
After he, like, he sees that it breaks, like, the pieces just, like, freeze and the game freezes and he's at, like, 9999999999999 high score. And he goes nuts. He, like, the celebration is tight. I highly recommend it. I've got a feel-good headline for our last one of the day. Burger King cook who received measly gift after never missing a day of work in 27 years buys first home after fundraising campaign. Here's the story. What's up?
Was this a... Did he buy a pineapple under the sea?
No,
this isn't a story about SpongeBob?
No, it's not a SpongeBob story. Okay. From the New York Post, the Burger King cook who had never missed a day of work for nearly 30 years and received a measly gift for his dedication has bought his first home with more than $400,000 raised from the now viral clip saying it was a Christmas miracle. Dude's name is Kevin Ford. Closed on his new Pahrump, Nevada home on December 13th. He paid $177,000 for the 846-square-foot, three-bedroom, two-bath house. Sharing the news with his followers on social media. And basically, for 27 years, he worked for Burger King. Never missed a single day of work, ever.
Working 365 days a year.
No way. No, they get time off or whatever. Legally, you can't work 365 days a year. But 27 years without a day of missing work, which is fucking crazy. I'm 36. I've been working for 12 years and I've probably missed 200 days of work for one reason or another. Like it's so insane. Like my dad was one of these people, like never, no matter how sick, no matter how tired, no matter how much crisis was occurring around him, never missed a day of work. And I remember when I started work when I was 23 being like, nah, I'm going to miss days of work, bro. This is insane.
Yeah, I'm
going
to take that PTO.
Yeah, what the fuck? So this dude celebrates his 27th anniversary with Burger King without missing a single day of work, and they gave him a backpack with a movie ticket, a Starbucks cup, and a mix of candy and chocolate. 27 years of service without a day missed. Frankly, even if he had missed a bunch of days, 27 fucking years at Burger King.
Yeah, not even a Starbucks gift card, just a cup.
Just the cup. Go fill this up. And a movie ticket and a backpack and a mix of candy and chocolate. Basically a combination of things to say, like, go have yourself a panic attack during the fucking Wrestling Brothers movie.
Yeah. And the backpack, like, they have a picture of it on the... in the article, and it's just like a clear drawstring bag. It's not like a...
It's a freebie.
Yeah. It's not like some cool like backpack that you can go like hiking in or whatever.
Throwaway merch.
Yeah.
They probably had this shit in them. They were like, oh fuck, it's Kevin's 27th anniversary. Mm-hmm. Quick, go to the merch closet and see if we have anything in there. 27 years? Can you imagine if you worked here for 27 years, you never missed a single day at Bowling Media, and then for your 27th anniversary, I went and just grabbed some shit out of that closet up there. Here's an RBP shirt, a fucking a hat that got sent to me for free, and a clear backpack, and a lanyard.
Yeah, I got the Freeze All Motor Functions hat.
Yeah, and, here you go, dude. 27 years of service. We appreciate you. So fucked. So fucked that it inspires $439,000 to pour in through a GoFundMe that his daughter set up. So, like, let me read you the rest of the story here. First of all, fuck Burger King is my point. My God. 27 years and you just shit on the dude. So they took a video of him opening his gifts. I guess they packaged it up for him. Damn, that's like, it's like Clark Griswold in Christmas Vacation.
Yeah,
you
got the Jelly of the Month Club.
It's the bonus and then it's actually the Jelly of the Month Club. Yeah. He took a video of it. They put it online and then his daughter crowdsourced the money for the grandfather to see his grandchildren, it says. And her name is Serena Ford. She said, in no way are we asking for money or is he expecting money, but if anyone feels like blessing him, he would love to be able to visit his grandchildren. And it went so viral that they raised over $439,000. And it says they were able to keep $350,000 of it after GoFundMe took a sizable chunk. Jesus Christ.
I didn't know GoFundMe did that.
I didn't know they took that kind of chunk, bro. That's an almost $90,000 chunk of money.
Like, could you imagine?
Dude.
You're like raising money for like a life-saving surgery and you need like 10 grand.
The fuck,
and
dude.
Then you reach that goal and then GoFundMe's like, yeah, we're gonna need like $1,500 of that.
That's insane. I did not know. $439,000, they got to keep $350 because GoFundMe takes their piece. That's, they can't love this publicity either. Burger King and GoFundMe stock on the downward. Ford's story made it around the internet. Then NBC's Today arranged for him to fly to New York and be visited by his grandchildren live on TV, which is the only day he has missed at his job over the last 28 years. I hope moving forward, now that he's seen how much Burger King cares about him, that he skips work on a regular fucking basis. Because that's just insane. It says Ford credits the viral fame to the strangers who helped him save his life, claiming he was depressed and that he has been given a roof over his head and can see his family more often now. Quote, now my kids and my grandkids have a place to come visit me, and I just want to thank everybody for being a part of this miracle and for everything you've done for me and continue to do for me every day. So there's our feel-good story of 2024 so far.
I mean, this dude just has to love his job as a fry cook to be putting up with that for 27 years.
And I think is it the airport in
Burger King, like, whew, that's rough. You really got to love your job.
Never missed a day, dude. And they gave him a backpack. Fucking insanity. Today's episode is also brought to you by a new sponsor called Mood. If you're like me and you have trouble falling asleep and staying asleep, or relaxing in social situations, or staying calm in general, maybe dealing with soreness after workouts, Mood might interest you. So listen up. Mood is an online dispensary with a variety of products tailored to set your mood, with product lines like Energized, Creative, and Focused, to help you get in the right mood for whatever your day has in store. And for a limited time, Mood is giving the RBP gang a free THCA pre-roll and 20% off your first order. Just visit hellomood.com and use our code RBP. I am a big fan personally of Mood's Sleepy Time Delta 9 THC gummies that help me wind down at the end of the day, get to sleep and stay asleep so I can recharge and get ready for another day of podcasting and getting my ass kicked by my kids. Mood is known for their federally legal THC, and now they're adding their most potent product yet to the lineup, introducing hemp-based THCA flower, the future of legal THC. Try it along with all of Mood's other amazing offerings like Delta 8 flower gummies, vape cartridges, and more. THCA flower is Mood's latest and most potent breakthrough in the world of legal cannabis. Since THCA converts into THC when you heat it, you get access to the classic marijuana high, and Mood has offered 10 high-inducing strains, the most potent they have ever offered. However you like to take THC, Mood has you covered. Great for both beginners and veteran users, great-tasting gummies, classic flower, convenient pre-rolls, and so much more. Try Mood's new THCA flower today, and for 20% off your first order and a free THCA pre-roll, go to hellomood.com and use promo code RBP. That's hello, MOOD.com. Code RBP for 20% off your order and a free THCA pre-roll. I definitely need some Mood this week, kid, because I think this might be the worst week of the calendar year. Like, on average. I'm not saying nobody can have a good week this week. Like, it definitely happens. But I think on average, January 1st through 7th, worst week of the year. Because you've just busted your whole excitement nut over the holidays, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever, New Year's. And then you're just suddenly, you just like, we go from the stretch between Christmas and New Year's where nobody really knows what day it is and we're all just getting fat and inebriated. And then suddenly we're just thrust back into the real world and into a new year where we still don't know what day it is and we're all behind at work and sick and broke and tired. It's awful. Yeah. Name a worse week of the year.
Maybe South by Southwest week.
You can't do it. Well, yeah, but that's situational.
Yeah.
This has to apply to everybody.
Everyone, okay. No, I really can't think of one, but I will say I have been having a great week so far, I think. That's because I kind of like switched my...
It sounded awful, kid.
Well, the first day was not great.
Okay.
But every day so far after
since
that has
then.
been pretty good. Because I've been like doing some things different. I kind of switched up my daily routines. First off, I started reading a book.
Whoa, fuck
me. I know. Yeah, dude. Fuck it. I haven't read in so long.
What book?
I actually got it from the girl on New Year's Eve. She like had an extra book.
On her?
Well, yeah, we went back to her apartment because I was going to wait for an Uber. And
yeah, because she was trying to get you in there to fucking hit the pipe.
Yeah.
And then instead you borrowed a book and bailed.
Yeah. Cause I was just, I don't know. She was doing something and she had it on her nightstand and it was called Don't Talk to Strangers, but it had the don't cross out and said talk to strangers. And I'm like, oh, that sounds pretty interesting. So I started like going through and I'm like, she's like, oh yeah, I have an extra copy if you want to borrow it. I'm like, oh yeah, sure, I'll read it. So I've been reading that the past few days. Also started journaling and like logging like my days on an app.
This is a good idea.
So like, you know, it says like, oh, what mood are you in? Like, what did you do today? How'd you eat? All that stuff.
I hope you didn't start on the first.
Oh, no, I did.
Okay, so yes. The first entry you put in was,
it was
just like...
Yeah, I was like, oh, I had a bad day. I was like, went to the movies, had a panic attack, wasn't great.
Yeah, yeah.
But everything else has been good. Started doing my skincare routine again, getting back into that.
That's
doing
huge.
It day and night.
It'll make you feel nice, too.
Mm-hmm. Trying to stay off social media a little bit more, like... The past couple of days has been like under 5 hours, just like being like screen time and all that, and like on social media, it's less than a
couple
hours.
That's a good number. And if you're listening and you're like, Jesus Christ, 5 hours. Well, what we do for work requires you to be on your phone a lot. So, like, if you can get under 5 hours, you're in a pretty good spot.
Mm-hmm. And then trying to get back into working out. So, I did not want to go yesterday, but I like forced myself to. I got there. I was like, oh, you know, I'm just going to do a couple things and leave. But then like I got there, started getting into it. And I was like, all right, I'm either going to do core or I'm going to go on the treadmill. And then I ended up like doing both those things. And after I felt like even better. So just like trying to force myself to do things that I really don't want to do, but I know it's good for me. And like things have been helping out a lot, especially with this first week.
Wait, so you started this book that you stole from this girl?
I didn't steal it. She gave it to me. She was like, I have another one, but I might keep it. I don't know. I might not give it back.
You got to give it back. After
but she has another copy.
Why does she have two copies?
I don't know. See, I don't know. I don't think I asked her.
Do you even know her name? Did you know? Don't say it, obviously.
Yeah, no, like, I know her name. Okay. Like, I've hung out with her like a few times, but I wasn't going to like try anything with her.
It's just a weird move that you both of you made there. To get she's like, well, fuck it. If he won't let me blow him, at least I'll let him borrow a book.
Yeah.
Strange stuff.
It was strange. Oh, well.
Well, anyway, so that's good. That's good. I mean, it was mostly negative from you this episode, so I'm glad to hear that things have turned.
You're journaling,
you're reading,
you're
running,
who would have thought?
You're back in the gym.
Yeah. Then we'll see how this weekend goes, and it might be just be back to square one.
See, that's what you got to avoid. It's that when you've got the momentum, you can't let it get crushed by the temptation of alcohol and pussy, you know? But that's what happens every time, 100%.
Yeah. I just don't know what else to do now on weekends, because I'm just here.
Read that book and fucking journal.
But I can still do that, and go out and
all that. The likelihood is, or the effectiveness is less, you know?
I just get to mark a bad day in the journal, you know? I can't have all good days.
No, you're going to have bad days. That's a good point. That's fair. It's a good, fair point. You're going to have bad days. Some days are not as good as others. That's the way it goes, and you got to be fine with both. But I guess if you're tracking them, that's good.
I guess I'm setting it up for having a bad day,
I've never done this, the tracking thing, and... My reasoning was always like, well, I have way more bad days than good days, and I don't need to be reminded of that constantly. Yeah. But that's not the case anymore. Like, I built my shit back to a place where I have way more good days than bad days now. So I feel like it would be beneficial to, like, see that documented.
Mm-hmm.
But so now maybe I'll bring myself to do this. Maybe this is the time. Because I've got, like, my wife's just been buying different variations of journals and giving them to me for, like, 3 straight years. So I have, like, 7 of them. All kinds of different journals. Every version of a journal you could possibly fucking imagine, I own it, and not a single word has been written in any of them. So maybe I'll just grab one of those that looks good when I get home and start today.
There you go.
Yeah, maybe today's the day for me. But no, just in general, it's a shitty fucking week. It's a hard week, I think, for everybody. And, you know, I like to say you are not alone. So if you're having a hard time right now, if you kind of got crushed by the beginning of the year, first of all, I'm with you. I feel you. I got my ass kicked this week. Bad. Real bad. And I'm trying to recover and use this weekend to recover. Not going to Colorado like I thought I was going to get to, because I need this weekend to get my shit together, because I cannot go into next week the way I went into this week. And which is a bummer, but it, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. I will say this to be positive, since you gave us some positivity. This is the best time of the year for the robe life, and I've been living that hard. Not like dick hard, but like you know.
But it has been hard sometimes.
Sometimes, okay. Sure. But yeah, but the robe has been on a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's cold outside, baby. You know?
Do we have a year of yet? Have we thought about that at all?
Oh, the year of?
Yeah.
What's 2024 going to be?
Yeah. I know we did... a really good job with Year of No Fear.
We really focused on Year of No Fear. We talked about it every week. No, I don't know yet. I mean, I've gotten some suggestions. I need to mull it over. And I'll see what's what, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of stuff like that, we've got a birthday shout out. We haven't had one of these in a while. It says, please wish Big Nasty a happy birthday on January 26th. Oh, shit, I'm sorry. We're doing it now. It says, he got me a birthday shout out on October 20th. Big Nasty should know I'm fine with just being ex-coworkers and not friends, and that I only recommend RBP to him at that time because Ross was threatening to send his lawyers after the listeners if we didn't. Oh, so this is the person. Remember we got that birthday shout out? Big Nasty said that they wanted the person to make sure that they know that they're just ex-coworkers and not friends. This is that person in turn now giving Big Nasty a birthday shout out.
Wow, comes full circle.
Everything
wow.
came full circle there. That's huge. Circle of life. That will do it for today's show, but please remember to support our sponsors by hitting the links in the description of this episode using our dedicated codes. We've got a new sponsor, Mood. Go to hellomood.com, code RBP for 20% off your order and a free THCA pre-roll. Very important that y'all support the new sponsors, especially because that's how they become longer-term sponsors like Liquid IV, long-term sponsor. LiquidIV.com, code Ross, 20% off your first order. And then, of course, we also had MyBookie, another long-term sponsor, code Ross, to claim your deposit bonus up to $1,000. Stipulations apply. MyBookie.ag if you're looking to get your sports book on. Yeah, means a lot for us when you support our sponsors. That's how we keep the business going. We need y'all's support this year, bigly, so please. When you've got a sponsor that you're interested in, a product that you think might be for you, at the very least, hit the URL in our description below and give it a look-see. Check it out and then use the codes and whatnot, of course, if you make a purchase so that they can track it to us and we can continue to get that sponsor's support. To check out our other shows, go to bowlingmedia.com. We've got Oysters, Clams, and Cockles. We're starting up True Detective Season 4. The week after next, it's January 14th, I believe, is the season premiere. True Detective, great show. Season 1, one of the all-time best seasons of TV ever. Season 2, one of the all-time laughingstocks of TV ever. Season 3, solid. Season 4 reviews are coming in overwhelmingly positive so far. Barrett and I are very excited to watch and discuss True Detective Season 4 with everybody over on Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, which you can find wherever you find RBP. Jared's F1 show Formula Bones still in full swing during the F1 offseason, doing all kinds of fun stuff at Formula Bone on YouTube. Go check out J-Bone's show and support him. And of course, if you're a Houston sports fan, Banging the Can is available wherever you get RBP as well. Grab yourself some RBP merch if you've got some extra holiday cash laying around. Go to bowlingmedia.com/shop. Click on the Ross Bowling podcast. Grab yourself a finishing cup, a Horny for Sunsets t-shirt. We've got puzzles. We've got hats. We've got crew necks. We've got hoodies. All kinds of good stuff on bowlingmedia.com/shop. Follow us on all the social mediums, obviously. Just search the Ross Bowling podcast on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Give us a follow. Cade, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on all the social media platforms at Cade Orris. That's KadeOrris.
Very exciting. Also at WR Boland to follow me on the X and Instagram. I've got a splinter that has been in my finger for a week and a half. And aren't they supposed to pop out eventually? Like, doesn't your skin like force it out? This thing fucking hurts, man. Anyway, today's episode of RBP is presented by Bowlin Media. Video of today's show is produced by Cade Orris, which you can find on youtube.com/@TheRossBowlinPodcast, along with funny clips from every show. We'll be back later this week with another ad-free premium edition of RBP available only on patreon.com/RossBowlinPodcast. We need as many of you on Patreon this year as possible as well. patreon.com/RossBowlinPodcast to support the show in exchange for Mo. Until next time, Happy New Year. We made it. We did it. We survived. And the first week of hell is almost over. We'll see you for the next one. Peace be with you and also with you. We'll be right back.
baby.